Be seated. Put in thy finger hither and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand and put it in my side, and be not faithless but believing. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this first Sunday of after Easter rather, called Low Sunday, the Church concentrates today very much on the first theological virtue of faith, and therefore the Church reads today the Gospel of the doubt of St. Thomas the Apostle. And today, 8 days after Easter, our Lord appears again in order to give St. Thomas a special grace to overcome his doubts. And it's good for us to think deeply today about this very important theological virtue of faith. St. Peter of Verona had always shown great zeal in learning and professing and preaching the creed. The Manichaeans whom he had tried to convert swore to compass his ruin. Lying in wait for him along a road, the assassin fell upon him and struck him on the head with his axe. St. Peter, who was not killed at once, began his favorite prayer, the Apostolic Creed, and dipping his finger in the blood flowing from his wound, found strength to write on the ground the word Credo, I believe. The assassin then stabbed him, and he gave up his soul to Almighty God. Credo, I believe. Faith, believe, or the word I do believe, are words which we use so often. But what do they mean? What is this, what we call faith, or divine faith, supernatural faith? Faith is a virtue infused by God into our souls, by which we believe without doubting all that God has revealed and that the Church proposes us to be believed. Faith or belief is not just an assent of our intellect to that what we can understand. Belief or supernatural faith is something else. We believe the truth of our Catholic faith because he has revealed it and the Church proposes it to be believed. And this is our main, our motive of belief. We don't believe a certain truth because we understand it or it makes sense to us. Faith is a virtue. It is called a virtue because it is not a mere transient emotion, or as the modernists make us believe, just a feeling. I feel God. I experience God, and so forth. It is not a religious feeling, but a firm, firm conviction, a permanent adherence to Christian truth of the Gospel, whether you feel it or not. A Christian has the virtue of faith when he is thoroughly penetrated by its doctrines and maxims, and all his words and actions give evidence of his faith. For example, if a Catholic hears irreligious expressions, he detests them with his whole soul and defends truth with all his strength. If he is tempted to sin, he at once should call to mind what faith says about it, and with the grace of God, rejects the temptation with constancy. And if the opportunity of doing good, of a good act, presents itself, faith is to him a powerful incentive to do it. He judges, or should judge, everything in the light of faith. What the people of this world values and loves, he despises if it contradicts his faith. And what that one despises is to him an object of desire. Faith is his all, and for this reason he should be ready, like the martyrs, to sacrifice his substance and even his life for it. This is very important to understand, particularly for our young people in this so-called traditional movement. Our young people have to understand this. Yes, our young people go to the true Mass, but this is not enough. But the everyday life many times does not reflect their faith. Many times, unfortunately, there is no difference between, let's see, a traditional boy or young man or a girl or a young lady and somebody who has no faith at all. And when the time comes to choose a spouse, and I have seen it many times, faith is the last consideration. But a true Catholic who has a lively faith in his soul judges everything in the light of faith. Faith is a virtue infused by God into our souls. We cannot of ourselves, by study and inquiry, acquire faith, but only through the grace of God. God must send us not only teachers or priests to instruct us in the truth of faith, but he must also enlighten our understanding, particularly today, and work upon our will that we may acknowledge this truth and accept them. Faith is a gift of Almighty God. And therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ says that no one can come to me, that is, believe in him, except the Father draws him by his grace, pulls him by his grace. We must believe without doubting all that God has revealed and that his Church proposes to us to be believed. God himself is our teacher and reveals to us what we must believe and do in order to be saved. He spoke, as the Church says, in an audible manner with our first parents, with the patriarchs Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and afterwards with Moses and through Moses and the prophets. And here, side note concerning the Jews again. Through the entire history of the chosen people, God spoke through the prophets, through his chosen people. But the line of prophets broke up shortly before Christ appears and never was resumed again. This is another proof that our blessed Lord was truly the Messiah whom the Jews rejected. And after our Lord had spoken to the prophets, finally he sent his only begotten Son, and through him God himself instructed the people in the doctrines of the Christian religion. We must believe, without doubting, all that God has revealed. God is the eternal, infallible truth, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. It is impossible for God not to speak the truth. And therefore our Lord says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. As soon as we know that a doctrine is revealed by God, we are most strictly bound to hold it to be true. To hold such a doctrine not to be true or to doubt it would be to reject or doubt the veracity of God himself. But how do we know that God has revealed a certain doctrine? We know this, and this is the Catholic teaching, through the teaching of the Catholic Church. And everything what the Church teaches is, as it were, the Word of God. And of course, we face today one of the biggest problems. How can it be that a church which proposes itself as the very Church of Christ, she teaches doctrines in the name of Jesus Christ himself, but at the same time teaches doctrines which are contrary to its previous teaching and to the very teaching of Christ himself? And many Catholics are troubled and confused by this fact. But we should remember, if an organization which calls itself the Roman Catholic Church teaches in matters of faith and morals, and this very teaching contradicts the previous teaching, that's a sign that this very institution is not the true church and is not led by the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, the Holy Ghost would lie and would lead the church in error, and the Holy Ghost would contradict himself. An example of all this is today the beatification of John Paul II, which will take place today. And you can read in the bulletin about more about it. And it's another proof that the man in Rome who wears a white cassock, Joseph Ratzinger, is not a true pope. It is almost a mockery of Satan. that this beatification takes place on the day when the church focuses on the very theological virtue of faith. The beatification of a man who destroyed the faith of so many in the church. But faith profits us greatly, and we should keep, hold firm to our faith, the faith of our fathers. It is faith that keeps us from evil, for it tells us what sin is and dreadful consequences it entails. Faith cries out to us, if you commit a grievous sin, you lose the grace of God. You cease to be His child and lose the right to heaven and make yourself guilty of eternal damnation. Again, faith tells us that even the least fault is an evil which no temporal evil can be compared, because it offends God, the supreme good, weakens grace in us, and merits a severe chastisement in purgatory. And why should we not be afraid of sin and avoid it with the greatest care, considering seriously its real character as shown to us by our faith? This is what we call the moral or practical application of our faith. And the reason why so many people commit the greatest sins without fear and live in their sins from years and years, that they have either no faith at all, or a false one, or never consider the truth of their faith. It is faith that gives us courage and strength patiently to bear all the sufferings of this life. He who considers the sufferings and tribulations of life in the light of his faith regards them not as evils, but rather as blessings, which are of the greatest advantage to him, provided he makes good use of them. He knows it, that they give him an opportunity of acquiring merits for heaven, whilst somebody who doesn't believe and whose faith is weak become discouraged and despair when severe trials come upon them. Christians strong in faith at least try to carry their cross with patience, be it ever so heavy, and mindful of the words of our blessed Lord, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Lastly, our faith enables us to die happily. Sacred Scripture says, as a man lives, so shall he die. And since our faith urges us to avoid evil and to do good in all our sufferings, to persevere in patience, in other words, to lead a good Christian life, it is evident if we are well grounded in our faith, we can hope with great, great confidence to die a happy death. A Catholic who has a lively faith has his destiny always before his eyes. He frequently thinks of death, which may come any moment. He thinks of the judgment, which is to decide his fate for all eternity. And these thoughts urge him to walk in the fear of God, and even if he falls in grievous sins, he goes rather fast or soon to the sacrament of confession, and to keep his conscience in order, so that when God calls him from this world, he may not find him unprepared. Let us give thanks to God daily that he infused faith into our soul at the day of our baptism, and let's stand firmly by it to our last breath. In our days, the attacks against our faith are countless. Do not permit yourselves to be led into error by them. Do not listen to their voices. Let faith, your Catholic faith, be dearer to you than anything else. Make your faith the rule of your life. Do what it commands and avoid what it forbids, that you may experience the blessings of this faith in your life and in your death. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.